Welcome to the Inside Mac Games podcast. My name is Blake Buck, and this week with me I've got Justin Ficarotta of Kill Monty fame.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
I'm doing pretty darn good. And I've also got William Miller, an artist for Reverse Software.
How's it going?
And absent this week, very sadly, guys, Tunzer Din is not here.
Hot date tonight?
Hot date. Tunker's on a hot date.
I hear he's married. I hear he's married with kids, so probably not a hot date.
But a date, probably.
And this is the Mac Gaming News for December 5th, 2005. All right, guys, slow news week this week. We only got four news articles. JavaQuake 2 is released. The OMG Cup judging begins, and the downloads are available over at the website. Also, a gamer in Second Life earning six figures in the real world. What the dice? And also, Tunzer Din to direct the Halo movie? More on that later.
Okay, so as Blake said, Bitonic Software has released ID Software's smash hit Quake 2 running on Java. So you can play this game on any platform. Seems to support all the old stuff that the Quake 2 engine did, so that's OpenAL sound engine for true 3D sound. You can play multiplayer, single player. It all seems to work pretty well.
Well, here's the question I have. Is this legal?
Yeah, I mean, you need the original game files to play.
Oh, do you?
If you don't have the original game Quake 2 data on your machine, you can't run it.
Because Quake 2 is sort of making a comeback these days, because there's supposedly some sort of ultimate edition of Quake 2 that's been packaged with Quake 4.
Really?
I thought Quake 4 was Quake 2.
That's why it's the ultimate edition.
Well, they didn't pay all that money for nothing, Justin. Is there anything else to say on this article? It seems like everybody who's got Quake 2 has already played it. And
well, they have the Java Quake 2, and then the other thing I remember seeing, you guys remember seeing that it's like Quake 1? You still need all the files, but it's all ASCII art.
That's awesome. I think it's sort of a testament to how far along Java has come. I mean, it used to be computers weren't fast enough, and Java wasn't sophisticated enough to make something like this possible. So, I don't know. I think it's pretty cool just because of that.
I mean, it's like it's making progress, but I mean, it's still Quake 2. This is years and years old. I mean, this is like
a lot of people say that Java is making a comeback these days with the dashboard widgets are all Java-based. And isn't RSS sort of a offshoot of Java?
No.
What am I thinking of?
Oh, RSS. I thought you said CSS. Oh, I don't know anything about
it. I think RSS is a brainchild of Java. But I don't really know, because I don't understand strange web technologies.
And you can't read.
All I understand is Mac gaming.
Okay, so what's next, guys?
Okay, idevgames.com has opened up judging for the OMG Cup. For those of you that don't know, the OMG Cup is a programming and design contest that idevgames hosts, and the grand prize for this contest, the winner will be, will work with Freeverse Software to turn their game into a published shareware or even a commercial game.
Mm-hmm.
So the voting is open. The downloads are available. The voting is going from December 1st to the 15th, and all the games are free to download. The website is idevgames.com. And the finalists will be announced on January 12th at Macworld. I've had a chance to play a lot of these games already, and there are some very cool, very original ideas coming in, because the whole point of this contest, as opposed to say like the UDev Games contest, is it's all about gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing a lot of original titles. You're seeing a lot of just like new, outside the box kind of games, where UDev Games is all about creating a quality game, but maybe not so original. But they are very cool. They have some, they do have some nice games with a lot of explosions. They have some,
That's what Justin looks out for.
Oh yeah, I specifically look for that. And I've always thought if I'm gonna have a contest, like for whatever reason, I do want to have like a Blood and Guts award, or like some sort of like gratuitous violence award, or I think that would be cool.
Okay.
But
so you were going to enter this competition, but, weren't you, Justin?
Yeah, what happened?
I was,
Justin Ficarotta? Huh? Huh?
I ducked out of that. It was just
the ladies.
I got into a bad habit. I started hitting the crack cocaine, and I lost all my motivation.
Walking the streets of Vegas at night. I played a handful of these OMG games, and I gotta tell you, overall, the quality was a lot better than I was expecting. I was expecting, you know, not to rag on it, but the Unity widget contest. Most of those games were really, they were just sort of amusements. They weren't really solid games, you know. But all of these are really, some of these are just awesome.
Now, I really wanted to play the Pakimono one, but I couldn't get it to work on my computer. Blake, you gotta take that
one. Oh, gosh. Have you played Pakimono?
No. Isn't that a Unity game?
Oh, my gosh.
In fact, I think it's from the guys that did Unity.
It is the most original. I haven't played all the games, but other ones I've played, it is easily the most original. You play this naked Japanese man, and it's got this really wild user interface, and it's got this, you know, crazy kooky music, and there are these little Scottish tourists who are taking a picture of some statue, and it's full 3D, and you've got to run your naked dude across the street and you know, through past all these cars and all these guys on bikes and stuff, and then right at the last second, you only have so much time to do it, you have to jump, like, right before they take the picture, and then you try and move your body to where it occupies, like, the most of their frame, so your naked body is taking up the absolute most.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
And then you get points on how much of your naked body is in front of their photos. And when you jump at the end to block their photo, you go into, like, bullet time, and you can manipulate those individual limbs and stuff. Oh, it's awesome.
That's so awesome.
I mean, it's just like, it's, you know, like the wacky, like, Japanese man. It's like the kooky music. It's like Katamari Damacy, only instead of, like, rolling a huge sticky ball, you're a naked guy with, like, naked balls and jumping in front of pictures. It's just the same concept.
The one thing I didn't like about this game is that it was a little show. It was only one level, and, you know, it was very limited in what you could do. There was only one level you went through. Once you played it for about, you know, 10 minutes, that was pretty much it. But it definitely was a great proof of concept, and I think if it got picked up, that game could turn into something really wild and cool.
Well, while we're talking about favorite games, the one I was really digging myself is called Escort Wing. This is a top-down shooter, and you have it's kind of like almost Escape Velocity style, or like if you played the Freeverse game Wingnuts, it's a lot like that. you have like you have your little ship, and there's like you're escorting these. Like a caravan of other ships, and there'll be like the bad guys will swoop in and, you know, try to blow the ships up, and you have to go and get them. But it's cool because they're like a squad to come from one direction, and while you're going and blowing them up, someone will come from the other direction. And
now
you have,
wait a minute. Now that sounds cool, but how is this different from the escort missions of Escape Velocity?
You do have like a squad of teammates. Like that's the thing. So like the whole thing is like working with the other planes to, you know, blow everyone up, because there's a whole bunch. I forget how many, but it's like a good like 10 to 15, it looked like. So it's like you have like a whole squadron of guys like that you're working with that are all AI controlled. So I just thought that was a cool game. It, you know, there are a lot of like really extremely like original games in there too.
One game I like was called Illuminations. It's kind of arcade style action game. You're this little ship and you have to shoot these fireworks they shoot at you, and there are a lot of cool particle effects. So it was pretty interesting. Kind of some old school arcade action.
I saw a screenshot of that game. It looked really cool.
I played Inball, which is sort of like I don't know. It's sort of like Mario. Well, you're just a ball, and you roll around the levels, and you kind of hop around, but it's all physics based.
It's kind of like a 2D Marble Madness with jumping.
Yeah, and it has, you know, some cool elements like it reminds me a little of Gish, sort of. It's got like, you know, little carts you can ride in and stuff. That was pretty cool.
Well, I played Virus Out, and it was pretty good. It opens up a bunch of windows on your OS there, and little dudes start scurrying across the screen. You got to zap them with bug spray or click on them and stuff. I played it for a few minutes. It's entertaining.
But it's cool because it actually like emulates the interface of your Mac. So like it looks like it's popping up Mac windows with files in them.
Right.
But the files are arranged in the window to be like a level, and like the guys will come in from the side of the window and try to like stab your files. And if they get enough of them, the screen goes black and it says system failure. So I mean, it's cool.
If I had a virus like that, I'd keep it. Because it was cute.
Yeah, it's a virus that makes little devils run around your screen with pitchforks.
One shout-out I got to give is to my good buddy Matt Diamond, who is a faithful listener of the IMG podcast.
Nice.
Matt Diamond created a puzzle game called Pawns, and it's these little pawns that kind of march across the screen, kind of Choo Choo Rocket style, and you have to put arrows to change their directions, but you got to watch out for the stronger chess pieces, which will kill them, but they can only move certain ways like normal chess pieces would. Hmm. And you got to get them to this little box on the side of the board. It's pretty cool. And some of the puzzles were pretty rewarding to beat because they were hard. There's more World of Warcraft news this week, and we just don't really feel like reporting it, you know? If you're a World of Warcraft fan, you pretty much already know this. And there's new 1.9 patch updates, but, you know?
I mean, it's like, you know, so we you know, you get news about World of Warcraft every, you know, every week, so it's just...
Every week. It's the World of Warcraft hype machine,
yeah, you
can
just
about.
Assume that every week, World of Warcraft, new realms, new classes, new items, new
there's
stats.
There's a contest or something, yeah.
Speaking of MMOs, there's been an article posted recently about a woman who's earning six figures in Linden Labs' Second Life. Now, Anshe Chung, I guess that's how you pronounce her name, purchases virtual real estate in this game and then remodels it using Photoshop and sells it. So she sells a plot of this stuff. She sells a digital 16-acre plot of land for a one-time fee of $1,250 and then charges... Now listen to this. And then she charges a monthly fee after that, $20 a month. Now...
Oh, my gosh.
That's just... That blows my mind. It's like you're...
No, wait. That's not it. She pays that much to buy the land from Linden Lab. Okay. Then she charges $100 up front to somebody who wants to purchase it back from her, plus $20 a month to keep it in land tax.
Land tax?
What?
Jeez. I'm like Walmart, she says. The margins are small, but the volume isn't. So apparently she does a lot of this stuff.
This frightens me.
That's
now, this is real money. Like, this is not like I have 10 gold in World of Warcraft. This is actual American dollars, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It says that Linden Lab estimates that Chung pulls in around $150,000 a year from her efforts.
Oh, my gosh. But that's got to be the crummiest job on Earth.
Well, she likes doing it. See,
no,
we were talking about this the other
no.
day, Blake. I think if you like painting in Photoshop, and you
but,
do that all day and make a lot of money off of it, then go for it.
But again, she says it's her margins are in her volume. That means she needs to make a huge number of houses. And I don't care how much you like painting houses in Photoshop, it's going to get old after the 9,000th house you paint.
Oh, she probably copy-pastes all that crap anyway, so I would.
But, I mean, do you think she'd be doing it if she didn't like it? I mean, it is making a lot of money, but...
And here's my second question. She... Come on now. Girls don't play MMOs.
Dude, every girl
there aren't even any girl Mac gamers. It's all
man. Every girl character in an MMO is like a 40-year-old man. I swear to God.
I can see the hate mail flooding in.
Hate mail because I want to get hate mail from Mac gaming girls because I don't think there are any. So you send me the hate mail and no dudes. No dudes posing as women. We have a filter that scans all that. It won't get past it,
buddy.
We can tell.
So we've gotten some pretty interesting emails.
No,
this week.
No, not email.
What?
You were going to miss out on the big article of the week.
What's the big
Tuncer
article?
Tuncer Dennis to direct the Halo movie. Now, we've got... This came from a film rumor at the ISB... website, which I guess tracks film rumors, turns out that Guillermo del Toro is slated to direct the Halo movie, or at least rumored to. And if you can remember from the last podcast, apparently Tuncer Dennis sounds exactly like Guillermo del Toro.
And in my mind, he looks like him, too. Like, I
saw
a picture of him.
Picture of him.
And he looks just like that guy, in my mind.
Now, it makes you think. Guillermo del Toro gets the directing gig. And Tuncer now is surprisingly missing.
Yeah. Well, where's Tuncer to defend himself? Nowhere. Nowhere. That's right, Tuncer.
He's off directing a film. That's where he is.
All right, Justin, how about you try your hand at a segue?
And now some reader mail. How do you like my Tuncer?
I love
it. He can't defend himself.
You hear that, Tuncer? We're making fun of you, and you can't defend yourself. You're off with on a hot date.
He's off directing.
Making the Halo movie.
Making the Halo movie. Anyway, we got a lot of emails this week, guys. So Chris in the UK sent us an interesting email about video game violence. He says, here in the UK, offensive games like GTA receives ratings from the BBFC, the same people who rate films over here, and the certificates are the same as the film classifications. So GTA is an 18. Therefore, it is illegal for people under 18 to see it. We still have the ESRB ratings on the games, but they are not legally binding. Would it be sensible for the U.S. to adopt a similar policy? What do you guys think?
Well, the difference over here is we're, you know, paranoid, want-to-protect-the-children, lawsuit-happy, crazy motherfuckers.
There you go, Justin. You just got your buzzer.wave.
I think that it's good to have a ratings body that is specific to games and one that's specific to films, because I think that they're different.
Yeah.
Granted, games are becoming more cinematic every day, but I think there's still a big difference in the two mediums, and I think that there needs to be specialized groups to rate each one.
It's still a really familiar system, though. It's like parents go into that, it's like, okay, there's like MA, there's, you know, I mean, like, there's M, there's T.
Yeah, like crossing, you know, like crossover rating systems would make it a lot easier for parents.
Yeah, but like every parent out there knows what rated R means.
Also, it would be nice to see some sort of cooperation between those two as far as establishing standards for games and film that are very similar. What's acceptable for...
Yeah, because there is starting to be a lot of crossover with, like, directors, you know, jumping on board with game development, with, you know, voice actors coming from Hollywood. You know, they really are gelling. There's,
yeah,
you know, could very well be some sort of singularity.
IMDb now lists video game credits for voice acting on their website.
They actually have a lot of games there listed, just like they were movies. Like, you can actually go into, you know, IMDb and look up Grand Theft Auto or Final Fantasy and look up, like, memorable quotes and trivia just like you would a movie.
Moving along, we got quite a few emails from German gamers this week who felt they were not being well represented on the show. They wanted to let us know about, let's see, Simon, Tobias, and Gerald wanted to let us know about gamesformac.de. That's G-A-M-E-S, the number 4, M-A-C.de. And you don't write number 4, you just write the number 4. That was for you, William, because I know you would have done that.
I did it already.
And actually, Simon is our buddy Civic, who we've had mentioned on the show before. He actually writes reviews for gamesformac.de. He's also a beta tester for Application Systems Heidelberg, which is at application-systems.de, which is he says in all capital letters, the German Mac gaming publisher and translator. So I guess they do all the German ports for Mac games.
So we officially retract our statement about there only being one Mac gamer in
Germany. We do, because there are at least two community websites around it.
Yeah, so that means there are at least two people. At least two. Two or more.
And speaking of international gamers, we got an email from Martin in Japan, a Japanese Mac gamer. How can be? I don't know. But since we've gotten all this international mail, we decided to start the Inside Mac Games Frapper account. You can access it at frappr.com/InsideMacGames. And what that'll allow you to do is you'll be able to see where all the Inside Mac Games listeners and hosts are located throughout the world. It has a little map, and if you click on the little each individual little pin, you can see a picture and the person's name and a little comment they left. And so we hope to get all of our listeners on the Frapper board so we can see where everybody's at.
So Martin says, great podcast. You have a listener in Japan. I'm sure there are more of us here, but I sure feel lonely too. Martin, what kind of
feel you, Martin?
Martin, are you Japanese or are you Martin? Does it sound like a...
No, you're saying it wrong, dude. It's Martin.
Martin. Sorry. And so we got another email from 3BKK. Have we got an email from him before?
We have.
Yep. He was the one that tipped us off on the Tuncer Guillermo del Toro connection.
Oh, that's right.
So he says, well, okay, perhaps you should bring back the voice of God from episode 5. Tuncer sounds like he was going to blow his vocal cords or something. We can't have him working all week with a hoarse throat. Brad Oliver definitely needs to get back on the show in the near future.
I agree.
He may be the funniest guy in Mac gaming. In fact,
Maybe he could do the segues in place of Tunzer. I think that's a great idea.
Ooh, we should have a...
says, I really enjoy his podcast, and I hope you guys stick with it for a while longer.
We should have a Tunzer versus Brad Oliver segue war. A segue off.
That'd be awesome.
And you know who wins that war?
Don't say everybody, Blake Buck.
Everybody.
Such a cop-out answer.
Oh, guys, I got in trouble this week. Steve Z from Freeverse, he's mad at me.
Uh-oh.
He says, I call bullshit on Blake this episode. You either know what Load Runner's about or you've never played it at all. You're a runner? He's pulling words from the title. Who does he think he is? Kaiser Soze? It's not good enough, Tunzer. I can't believe you're letting him go by so easy. If you play Load Runner, especially back then, show some imagination. Computer world? Of course it was a computer world. Everything was a computer world back then, and the graphics sucked. It was a screen of bricks and floors with ladders going ever. I don't 100% remember. How about I 0% remember? If you played Load Runner at all, the first thing you'd say was a game where you blasted holes in the floor... And the floor to trap, kill, and escape from the guys who were chasing you. Well, I'm sorry, Steve. I have played Load Runner. I'm sorry I didn't remember any more about it. But I think I played like Load Runner 2, maybe, or maybe it was that. I looked it up. Isn't there an N64 version of Load Runner? Maybe that was what I played.
Steve also wants to give a shout out to Mike, Bruce, and Mark. And they'd all want to stump Blake sometime.
We would love to have you guys on there. In fact, we might have a lead for next week, guys, with Bruce. He sent me an email expressing some interest in being on the podcast, so we might be able to line him up for next week with any
That'd
luck.
Be good.
Yeah, get some Freeverse guys on here. They're good folks.
All right, guys, and we got the motherload email this week. This is the greatest email I think we've ever gotten. Ever. Okay. It's from a man named Sippin' the Swede. And I'm going to read this exactly, not going to skip anything out. This is exactly what he says. Hi, guys. I'm a megalomaniac, self-proclaimed retro Mac game omniscient Swede.
Oh, man.
The Swede.
Come on the show, man.
Self-proclaimed.
We got to get him on here.
We should. And hey, maybe he could take Tunzer's place, huh? Huh?
Ooh,
that's right, Tunzer.
You know what? Instead of getting God through the segues, this guy's omniscient. Megalomaniacs, you know, almost the same kind of thing. We could have Sippin' the Swede versus Tunzer versus Brad Oliver.
And you know who wins?
Everybody.
I like how Justin said that there. It's like we were slightly retarded. All right, I have a collection of over 2,000 Mac freeware and shareware games.
Holy cow!
Most of them black and white and optimized for glorious 9-inch monitors. I had this collection by accident. Because for the last 11 years, I've been downloading every black and white Mac game I could find on the internet, looking for this one particular game I played on my dad's Mac Plus in the early 90s. This part is in all capital letters. For the love of God, help me find it. I've spent 11 years searching and I've asked everyone, if you can't help me, I am doomed. I've also had my name legally changed to Durandal, and I bet I'm Scandinavia's biggest marathon fan ever. Ponzor. But seriously, folks, 11 years. I can't seem to find this game, and it's really weird. Maybe you and your heaps of listeners can help me. Here's a fake screenshot reconstructed from my memory. And guys, I've put the link to the reconstructed screenshot on the podcast homepage.
So this is an actual screenshot. This is a mock-up that this guy made.
This is a mock-up of what he thinks this game looks like.
So, I mean, it's... It looks to me like some sort of like Macintosh version of Adventure.
Yeah, it's got a little guy and then a little monster and some sort of Ankh in the corner there.
Now, Sippin, I'm pretty sure I played this in grade school as well. I'm almost positive that I have also seen this game, but I can't remember what it was called. I looked for you. I really did.
And now the Inside Mac Games podcast contest trivia thing. I want your job, Tunzer. I'm coming for you.
Look, man, as far as I'm concerned, you got it.
Oh, yeah.
That's spot on.
Wow.
Oh, I thought it actually was Tunzer there for a second. Thought he had slipped in. All right, guys, you know the drill. Each week we're giving away one free Mac game from a list of fantastic titles. Just fantastic. All you gotta do is answer the trivia and we'll send you the game of your choice. Last week we asked you what was the date of the Steve Jobs interview on InsideMacGames.com. And the winner of this week's Inside Mac Games podcast contest, good lord, that's hard to say, is, oh my goodness, can it be? Martin from Japan has won this week's Inside Mac Games podcast contest.
Congratulations, Martin.
You know what, Tutzer? You're going to have to pay international shipping. Oh, I love it. Take that.
So, what game did Martin choose?
He chose Star Trek Elite Force 2. All right. So,
congratulations.
Tutzer, get ready to shell out the big cash.
We'll be sending that out to you real soon.
So, this week, we got a special contest this week. We decided to help out our buddy, Sippin' the Swede. And if you can figure out what this crazy-looking game he's got is named, and you can find us a link or a screenshot or a title or just, or preferably even a download, you will receive a free copy from the following games. Age of Mythology, James Bond 007 Nightfire, MTX Mototrax, Spy Hunter, Star Trek Elite Force 2, Star Wars Jedi Academy, using the code word coupon JEDI, Tom Clancy's Rainbow 6-3 Raven Shield, Tomb Raider The Angel of Darkness, and The Lord of the Rings Return of the Ring. Oh God! What have I done? I no longer work for Inside Mac Games.
We still don't have those Macworld tickets anymore, Blake.
they're down the toilet.
He will send us plane tickets to your funeral.
Oh. did we even say? Okay, so all you need to do is send us a. All you need to do is send us a name, screenshot, or preferably a downloadable version of the game Sippin' is talking about. And if you do that, and if you're the first person to send us an email with it, you'll win your very own game. And remember, if you don't include your name, address, and what game you want, we will not include you. All right, William, it's your turn. Go.
Stomp Buck.
Dude, that sucks.
Yeah, I'm not nearly as good at it. Good at it as Justin is.
All right, so what do you guys got this week? I smoked both of you guys last week.
Man, you did.
You didn't smoke me. I stumped Buck last week.
Oh, who did I smoke? Oh,
smoked me.
I sort of smoked Tunser on Load Runner, but apparently Steve Z thinks otherwise.
You ready for this one, Blake? I'm gonna get you this time.
I'm ready.
All right, my game this week. Scarab of Ra.
Scarab of Ra. You just made that mess up.
I've played it too.
I'm about to tell you because I played it.
I'm just saying I played it. I'm just confirming that it is a
Scarab
game that
exists. Scarab of Ra is an Egyptian based. I'm gonna say 2D platformer.
Wrong.
That's probably the farthest thing from the actual answer.
The role-playing game?
No, not quite. Scarab of Ra was made by Semicolon Software. They've been around since 1987, I think. And it was an adventure game played on classic Macs. It was black and white, sort of line art. And from what I remember, you had a first-person viewpoint, and you wandered around this maze and picked up stuff. Get this. One of the features, save your game.
Whoa.
Yeah, no kidding.
Whoa, like to memory?
Yeah, like to memory.
Holy.
But now, it requires System 6.0 or later.
That's where they get you.
Gotta have that System 6. That's where they get you.
Alright, well maybe I didn't know that one, but this one. Justin, I'm gonna get you. You stumped me last week, I'm gonna get you this week.
Alright, Blake. My game for you this week is Peg Leg.
Peg Leg? Ooh. What is this? Nobody's played these games. What is this? Peg Leg? It's a pirate-based strategy game.
you screwed it up already, Blake Buck.
Damn it. I love pirate based. That's my favorite part. It's pirate based.
Look, Peg Leg, there you go.
Actually, Peg Leg was a real classic, awesome Mac arcade game released in the early 90s, I want to say. Yeah, like 92 around there. And I want to say it actually got the IMG Game of the Year. Peg Leg was a space arcade game where it's like your ship was on the bottom of the screen, and then it was a really classic arcade Mac game. You could control it with the mouse, so that was like really cool. So you could whip around, and you know, not a single pirate in there, and and it actually did get the best shoot 'em up game of the year, Macworld Game Hall of Fame. So people have played this.
All right. You know, I think we should have another section where I stump you guys on something you know nothing about, like
Myst 3,
like cookies.
You guys, Myst 3 and cookies. That's what you came up with. I hate you guys. I could stump you guys with console trivia any day of the week. There is no way you goons know more about console games than me.
Try me, Blake Buck.
Have you ever played Jammer Lammy?
What?
Uh-huh. See? Right there. There you go. It's like me every week.
What?
It's a sequel to Parappa the Rappa.
You like these singing games, don't you, Blake?
Look, I have musical talent, and I like to... Look, I'm going to have to sing on the podcast one of these. You know, Blake Buck was in musical theater for 7 years. All right, I've got chops. Don't make me use them. Well, that's it for this week in Mac Gaming. That was awesome. Right, guys?
It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. My socks are blown way off.
Blown way off as opposed to not so much off.
We'd like to thank our buddies over at the Pod Show PodSafe Music Network for providing all the music for this week's show. I love it. You guys remember back when we had crummy music, that freak porn star? I got nothing against Chris Adian at InfidelIncorporated.com, but it's getting a little stale.
I kind of like that porn star music.
I like the porn
star
music.
It's not coming back. We've got the Pod Show PodSafe Music Network now. Be sure to go to InsideMacGames.com for all your Mac gaming needs. Because where else are you going to go? Nowhere. That's it. The number one, baby. InsideMacGames.com.
Yeah, word to your mothers.
Cook other MCs like a pound of bacon.
That's right. Oh my goodness.
Be sure to send all your contest entries to podcast at Inside Mac Games. Also, if you got any feedback or questions, send us an email at podcast@insidemacgames.com. I'd like to thank Tunzer Dennis for providing all the segues for this week's episode. So I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Ficarata.
I'm Tunzer Dennis. And we'll see you next time.
Except for Blake. Tunzer's going to kill him.